The word this morning is keep your eyes off the waves. Keep your eyes off the storm. Keep your eyes off distractions. Keep your eyes on the author, on the finisher of our faith. His name is Jesus this morning. We open this morning, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 14, well-known story we all know about Jesus walking on the water. Matthew 14 verse 22, the Bible says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. I don't know, maybe Jesus knew there was a big storm coming and he wanted the disciples to cross over safely. But verse 23, after sending them home, he went up the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen. So maybe he sent them to avoid the storm, but maybe he sent them to go into the storm. Sometimes God allows us to go through storms to test our faith, to get us to get bigger and stronger. He's not into our comfort. Please understand that. God's not into your comfort. Our God is into growing your faith, developing your character. So it says there, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. It wasn't the second wave of love. This was another wave. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, like you and I would have been as well. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, like he always does, and says, "Don't be afraid." Come on, God doesn't want you to go through 2026 being afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear. When fear wants to get a hold of you, you have to say, "No, I refuse to submit to a spirit of fear." God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. You need to start quoting scripture over your life, over your family, over yourself. You have to hold your mind, take your hand and put it on your head or over your heart and say, "Father, I will not fear. I will not fear. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Amen. "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." You have to be your own prophet, man. You have to start speaking again. It's not a time to be quiet. There's a time where the church must be quiet. There's a time where you have to be still and know that God is. But then there's a time where you have to speak up. And I want to tell you, Christian, if there's a time in the history of this city, it's a time now to speak up. It's a time to be bold. It's a time to allow God to use your mouth as a mouthpiece. Let your microphone be your mouth wherever you find yourself. You have a platform. You have a stage. It's your career. It's your suburb where you live. It's the people that you interact with. God doesn't want you to be quiet now. Now's the time for the children of God to arise and to shine and to let your light shine. You are the salt of the earth. You were born for this hour. You were born for battle. You were born to stand in the gap and to speak life. Now is not a time to be silent. Say amen. You want to look at the spiritual clock? It's time that the church speaks up in our city and in our nation. Now is your time. Amen. So Jesus comes and he sees they're scared. He says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here." Thank God Jesus is here. Peter called to him and said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you and walk on the water." That's quite a bold statement. "Lord, if you're walking on water, I also want to walk on water. Lord, if you heal the sick, I also want to heal the sick. Lord, if you allowed mass provision to throw through your hands by feeding 5,000 with just a little bit, then I also want to see mass provision with just a little bit. I also want you to multiply what you've blessed, Father. I also want to see the dead raised." The Bible says in John 14, because Jesus said, "Because I go to the Father, you will do now even greater works than these." We as the church are called to do greater works. Come on, bump your neighbor. Say, "I'm called to do greater works." Because he's gone to the Father, John 14. He's gone to the Father. We'll do greater works than this. He says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come. Lord, I see you walking on water. I see you doing great things. Lord, can I come as well? God, I see you have a great future for my brothers. Can I also have a bright future? He says, yes. He says, get out of your boat. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your tradition, your culture. Get out of your place of fear and safety and come and walk on the water. I have a beautiful journey for you. Get out of a life of sin and disease and sickness and oppression. Get out of it and come to a place. Come and walk with me. Jesus gives the invite even to this day. Follow me and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Get out of your boat. You can also walk on water. You don't have to just live an average, gray, dull, Kimberley life. You can live a great life. You can live the life that God has for you. An explosive life. Pastor preaches his guts out to get you to move. It's okay to say amen. You have permission to make a noise in the house of God. It's not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful. It's okay. You can say amen. The Bible says clap and shout in the house of God. Make a joyful noise, the Bible says, in his house. It's okay. It's not disrespectful. In fact, it's a slap in the Father's face when everybody's praising him and you're standing there in your pious attitude. It's time to join in. It's time to get out of your boat. You've been sitting there and you've been asking, God, but can I also do this? Yeah. And his answer is, yes, you can. Come out of your boat. You can also do it. You can also walk with God. You can also have radical faith. You can also be a Peter who actually walks on water. Come on. I tell you, there's great things in store for you. Your best days are still ahead of you. You've been thinking, God, can I walk on the water? Jesus is saying, yes, you can, but you got to get out of your boat. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to switch off the television. You got to get into the Word of God and read the Bible. Get to know the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word shall go forth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the thing which God sends it out for. And if God says it, that settles it. I receive it by faith. Amen. It's time we are a people of the Word of God. Who God watches over his Word to perform it. We should be a people that believes in the Bible. The B-I-B-I-L. If God says it, then that settles it. He says you can attempt great things. Step out. God is with you. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Lord, if it's really you, I love it. If it's really you, and he says, yes, come, 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 step out of your boat. It's really me. Come, come away with him. Songs of Solomon says, come away with me. Come with me. Come with me on an adventure. You know, think about Jesus. These disciples, they see Jesus and he says, come and follow me. Leave what you're doing and come and follow me. I'm not saying we must now just quit our jobs. But there's a place we have to quit your effort, your stuff, and just follow him. Let go of that stuff that's holding you back from following Jesus. And so he comes. The Bible says, verse 29, he says, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Hallelujah. But when he saw, yes, the key, but when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified, began to sink. Save me, Lord. Sometimes the best thing we can say is, the best three words we can say in our lives, save me, Lord. Red my era. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not only a salvation prayer, it's a prayer of deliverance. Salvation is not just only getting born again. Salvation is deliverance, freedom, victory, breakthrough. Save me, Lord. So God gives him the word, steps out. And like all of us, we sometimes want to be real. Let's just be real, man. There's a challenge here. Let's just be real. Let's not be flaky. Let's not be super spiritual. Let's just realize where we are and what we're doing, and let's just limit God, and let's just take our eyes off the promise and the promiser, And let's just start looking at the waves and the storms. And I'm for not being a weird and super spiritual, but look at the result of it sometimes. Sometimes we want to be so real that we're looking at the storms. And what's the result? We end up sinking. The answer is to put your eyes on Jesus. To go back to the promise that He gave you. That's why we're a church of vision. That's why we're a church of faith. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We will live by faith and not by sight. You have to take your eyes off that situation and put your eyes back on God. Then the storms, even though they're raging, you will walk through the storms. But sometimes a storm is there to distract you, derail you. To look at this problem, the situation, as real as what it is, you have to say, I know it's there, but I'm not going to look at it. I know it's there, but I'm going to look at God. Amen. Because what other option do you have? Okay, let's look at the storm. I'm sinking. Let's look at the waves. I'm sinking. Now let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Have vision. Write it down. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water, but when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified. Began to sink. Save me, he shouted. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. Thank God for Jesus. But he corrected him. He said, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshipped Jesus, saying, you are really the Son of God. There are things in our life that God starts. He gives us a vision. He gives us a word that we can step out in faith. We get saved, we get excited, we get full of zeal and passion. We want to do great things for God. And then life happens. Life designs us. You know, that time frame of Peter could have taken maybe a few seconds, it could have taken a minute. But you can actually stretch it over your life. You can stretch it over years and years. There's a man who's calling out, God, use me. I want to do something great for you. And Jesus says, come. And he steps out of the boat. And after years and years of stepping out of the boat, now all of a sudden things start to go wrong and he takes his eyes off Jesus. He looks at the storm and the wind and he starts to sink. But eventually Jesus comes and helps him and finishes him. He started out well, but he didn't finish well. He started off good, but he didn't finish good. Peter stepped out the boat and he started to walk on the water. He was excited. He was daring. He was risk-taking. He was courageous. He moved. He acted on his faith. But it was that last part when his eyes were on the storm, the waves and the wind, that he lost it. His faith began to waver. But hallelujah, Jesus grabbed his hand and kept him. Sometimes when you want to attempt something great for God, you can have disappointments like Peter. But we are called to keep the faith, keep on moving on. We're not called to let the distractions and the failures take our eyes off Jesus. The storm was never meant to drown you. The storm was meant to show God's goodness and His mercy in your life. We're called to look at the finished work of Jesus. We all fall short of God's glory. No man is perfect. All have fallen short of God's grace. There's a lack in all of us. Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus. He's the author, He's the starter, He's the beginner, but He's also the finisher. Bump your neighbor, say, He's a finisher of my faith. He'll help me go all the way. He's the finisher. He'll help me finish the race. He'll help me finish my life. He'll help me finish my degree. Amen. He'll help me finish what I've started. He'll help me. He'll get me over the finish line. He'll help me to finish that last part of the water where I'm starting to waver. He's going to help me finish. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There's another man in the Bible who fell short, trusting God for something big his whole life. Towards the end of his life, the answer came and he fell short. The Bible speaks in Luke 1, about a man called Zechariah. Verse 5, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive. They were both very old in the latter half of their life. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was burning or being burnt, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Hey, don't be afraid. Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." This happened in his old age. This is a young couple, excited to do great things, couldn't have a kid. The Bible says later on in their life, towards the end, I'm sure he even forgot about the prayer he prayed. And now all of a sudden, he gets interrupted by an angel, he just kept on doing what he was supposed to do, keeping the faith. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the children. If there's one thing God's doing, he's turning the hearts of the fathers, he's turning it back to the hearts of the sons and daughters. God, we're a generation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must understand, God is multi-generational. He will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this is going to happen?" Later on in his life, had a few scars, had a few blows, had a few disappointments. How's this going to even happen? I've heard this faith stuff. I've been patient. Nothing's happened. I've heard that before. I've heard every sermon on faith and trusting and believing. How's this going to happen? You can even hear the disappointment or the criticism. Even in being like a cynical person saying, "How will this happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." I think he was trying to say, why only now? Why now? Then the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will be certainly fulfilled at the proper time." The Bible says when he finally did come out of the temple, he couldn't speak. His mouth was silent. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he went back home. This is a man who was many years old. He must have been praying and trusting God for a long time, but he had setback, disappointment, failure. He became cynical. He took his eyes off Jesus like Peter did, and he started to look at the realities of his life. He felt like this is not working. His faith fell short. He started out well, but he didn't finish well. But thank God this morning there's good news. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. The great news is there's somebody to grab your hand when you fall short. Hallelujah. The great news is, even if God has to shut your mouth, but the baby's coming. The promise is coming. Nothing is going to stop God's yes. The promises of God are yes and amen. Despite our unbelief, despite our failures, God still blesses His children. His hand is still out there to grab you. His hand is still out there to support you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Our God is our good God. We say it. He's been so, so, so good to me. Come on, if He's been so, so good to you, jump to your feet. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, due season was that day. His prayer would be answered. Hallelujah. That was the day. He didn't even know it, but there would be an angel that morning standing in the altar, coming to give him good news. There was somebody that had went before that was going to announce good news. But here's the challenge. Here's the problem. There was a past in his life. There was experience, disappointments, hurt. Setbacks. Life happens. That's the real thing we need to talk about. There's nothing you can change in your past. There's nothing you can do to go back and fix yesterday. He gives you now and He gives you your future. Never let your past hold you back. You see, He could have even stopped the promise with His own mouth. God had to mute His mouth because it would have affected the promise, the birthing of His son, the birthing of a promise. When you write down your vision, sometimes it's important to watch what your mouth says. Your words are key. Faith speaks. Psalm 141 verse 3, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Keep it. Watch your words. Don't just say any nonsense. Guard your mouth. This lesson of Zechariah, God is not going to send an angel to you to shut your mouth. He sent His word already. He sent you scripture. He sent you the promise. He sent you the example of Zechariah, that when the promise of God comes and your heart is maybe feeling disappointed and hurt and heavy and broken, don't let your lips begin to agree with a lie. You've got to watch your mouth. You have to set a guard over your mouth. You can choose death or you can choose life in that situation. That's why He says, don't live in your past. Forget yesterday. If our God is willing to forgive us and forget all our sins and all our trespasses up to the cross of Jesus, why are we still remembering yesterday's failure, last week's disappointments, 2 weeks ago of our failures? We should be like God. We should forget yesterday. We should forget our failures. We should forget things that have disappointed us. Don't let your mouth abort or kill what the Lord has birthed in your heart. Our God hears our prayers. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also now believe and therefore we speak. Someone said to me, can your faith move your lips? Can your faith move your lips? People are quiet because they don't believe. People are quiet because they don't believe. You sit in a meeting and you're a visionary, and maybe you have a big vision for something for your company or for your sports team. And there's one or two people who are saying, yes, we can do it. But the others are there, they're quiet. They're neutral because they don't believe. That's why we should believe and speak. Believe and speak. That's why I said it's not wrong to speak in the house of God. It's not bad to praise God. Why do you praise God with your lips? Because you acknowledge He's alive. We sang it. If we don't sing praises, God says He will call the rocks, He'll cause the rocks to cry out. But praise He will get. He'll use you or use a rock. You choose. I'd rather let me praise. Rather you silence the rocks with your own praise. Out of your own lips, praise Him. Stand there, say, Here I praise Your name, Here I love and praise You. God, I praise You, I worship You. Why? Because I believe You are bigger than my problem. I believe You are stronger. I believe You hold the keys to life and godliness. Set a guard before our mouth. There's a time to be quiet, but then there's a time to speak. Speak the promise. Speak what God has said about your city, about your life, about your family, even about your church. Prophesy life over your church. Prophesy life over your home cell, over the ministry, over that which you've committed to the Lord, over your seed that you've sown into the house, over the years that you've served in the kingdom. As I've served faithfully, so my children will serve faithfully, Lord. I believe You for it. Because our God hears our prayers. Jeremiah 1 verse 12, the Bible says God watches over His word to perform it. So don't conceal your promise with your mouth. Numbers 14 verse 28. When the 12 spies went to the promised land and they came back, two of them, Joshua, Caleb, they said, we are well able. The other 10 said, we be not well able. So God responds in Numbers 14 verse 28. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. As you speak, so it will be done unto you. If you say you can, you will. If you say you can't, you won't. Forget the past. Stretch forward. Push on. Don't let past disappointments rob you of your future. Listen, you are young. You may be 70 years of age. You are young. There's a computer term I remembered studying in auditing. And when we would go do an audit at a computer place, and they would purge the information. Purge is a big English technical word. Simply means they would wipe it out. They would clear the disk, put it on another disk. They would purge the information, clean it out, get rid of the junk, do some spring clean. You need to purge your past and realize that you are not old. You are not going to become a failure. You are young. The Bible says, lay aside all the heavy burdens and the weight and the sin that easily so ensnares you, so that you can run your race, that you can be light, that you can be fresh and young. You can be 65 and you are still young and fresh because you've purged, you've got rid of your yesterday. You're not carrying the memories and the failures of your past. And oh, I'm so old. You're 26 years of age and you think God can't do a great future. You got to throw that stuff off your back and tell yourself, hey man, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Even young men will grow weary, old people will faint, but those who wait upon the Lord shall mount upon. Come on, I'm young. You need to say it. You are young. You are youthful. You have the Spirit of Christ. You're going places 30 old. You're going places 40 old, 50 old. Some of you haven't even left the starting block. Your greatest days are still ahead of you. Don't let the devil lie and tell you that you're old. You old news. You're a has-been that's alive from the pit of hell. You're just getting started, baby. Everything that the devil meant for bad, God is going to use and turn it around for your future, for your good. And you are going to run with lightness. You are going to run with youthfulness. Those who are planted in the house shall bear fruit even in old age. You're going to just be renewed. Although on the outward you're going to get a little bit older, but on the inside you're going to get renewed. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Be like Zechariah in his latter years. Cynical. Critical,
God sends him an angel. He doesn't even believe the angel. Some of you are saying, God sent me an angel. Even if he sent you an angel, you wouldn't believe. Send a miracle, send a sign. He's run out of signs, you still don't believe. What you have to do is forget your past, forget your disappointments, purge, wash away. Any man in Christ is a new creation, the old is gone. New things have come. Bible says, Isaiah chapter 43, hey, listen, he says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. It's a new day, it's a new thing. Yesterday's gone, I can't fix yesterday. But I'm going to live in the now. There were years that maybe the canker worm and the locust have eaten. I can't go back to previous harvests, previous opportunities that I've missed. I can learn from them. But I'm not going to stay in yesterday. Amen. I'm not going to stay in yesterday. God's going to refresh. God's going to restore. He says he will restore the years the locust has eaten. Amen. Our God is a restorer. He's the author. He's the finisher. When we waver, he's there to grab your hand. Come on, we have to forget the past. Eyes on Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. This is the great apostle Paul. He says, this one thing I do, I forget things which are behind and I reach forward. I press on. I see vision. Yeah, yesterday maybe have been a bad day, but today's going to be a great day. I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I'm not going to let the disappointments and failures of yesterday weigh me down, make me old before my age, make me die before I'm finished. I'm not going to allow that. Heaviness of yesterday, you need to purge with it, you need to cut with it, you need to identify with the God of today. He's the God of the future. Amen. There's those things which are behind, I reach forward to the things which are ahead. That's why we wrote our vision down this year. You have to see that picture God has for you. And if you see that picture, even if you're in a storm, don't put your eyes on the storm. We know there's a storm, thank you. You don't have to remind us. Pastor, there's a storm. I know, thank you very much. But what do? We keep our eyes on Jesus. Another day we've made it through. Thank you, Jesus. Till the promise comes to pass. And the beautiful story we all know. Elizabeth fell pregnant with John the Baptist. Luke 1, here we see a great example of Mary. Young Mary. Why did God choose a youngster? Someone with childlike faith. You can be 60, 70, 80. You can be 30 and have childlike faith like Mary, youthful, believing. Never lose your spark. Never lose your wonder. You have to watch your heart. You have to go onto that computer program with all the bad disappointments, all the bad songs, all the bad photos and memories, and you have to right click and delete it. And make sure it never comes up again in your memory bank. And you have to purge it. You have to wash it with the blood of Jesus. You have to forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you. And leave it at the altar. And move on like David did when his son died that he had with Bathsheba. He died. The child died. He washed himself. He got up and he moved on. You have to move on. You have to move on. You have to move on. Don't get tripped up by yesterday. It's going to affect your future. Focus on him. In the 6th month, Elizabeth's pregnancy. Hallelujah. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, the descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused a bit and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he'll be called the Son of God, the Most High, the Son of Man. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. She wasn't being cynical. She was just asking, okay, you've got me. I'm believing, but explain. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. It goes on, say, for the word of God will never fail. Verse 38, he has her response, young, childlike. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Another translation says, let it be to me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word, Father. I don't understand how, but I'm not going to let past disappointments, failures, my experiences, like Zechariah, keep me. Don't shut my mouth, Lord. I believe. Akhluriyara, I believe you. That's how we should respond. That faith can move your lips. We believe, and therefore we speak. I want to tell you, it's a time now that we as a church, as a Christians, in our city, in our nation, we should be believing, and speaking faith, and speaking to mountains, and shaping our future, and prophesying to dry bones that they can live. Now's the time that the children of God should arise. Come on, Christian. Don't be silent. Don't be cynical. Don't be critical. Purge yesterday's failures. Ask the Lord to cleanse and wipe away your memory of yesterday's, the past, and failures. Right click and delete and say, Father, be it unto me according to your word. I might not know how, but I say yes and amen. I say yes and amen. Come on, if that is you, won't you please jump to your feet as we close the service? Can you all please stand? Please stand with us this morning. Every one of you, visitors included, please join us. Come on, you have to believe. The word of God above your feelings, your circumstances, your emotions. You have to override it over everything else. Yeah, but I've heard that message before and I tried it and it didn't work. No, you cannot be like that. We are called to be believers, childlike. Childlike faith, not childish, childlike. Jesus said, unless you become like these little ones, you cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes you have to say, well, I don't know, but it's my dad's problem. He's going to sort it out. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's my Father in heaven's problem. My job is to believe. His job is to battle and to fight it out for me. Are you ready? Come on, put your hand on your heart with me this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, every person listening to the sound of my voice in this auditorium, watching online, every leader, every member, every visitor, those that you've given us vision for this year, as we've written it down, we thank you. We purge, we forget our pasts. We release people that are binding us, that are affecting our future. We forgive, we release, we forgive ourselves. We release the past, the pain, the hurt, the breakup, the setback, the failure, the divorce, the bankruptcy, the calamity, the death. We release so that we can be free. Father, not by might, not by power this morning, but in your presence this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And touch our hearts. Renew us this morning. We lay aside every disappointment, every weight, every burden. You say, take up your yoke. Your yoke is light and easy. The unforced rhythms of grace. And we lay aside yesterday. We lay aside disappointments, failures, mistakes. We forgive. We let go so that we can run and believe like Mary. Now say this with me. Say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Say this with me. Say, Lord, I am your servant. May everything you have said about me come true. In Jesus' name, I receive it by faith. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise this morning in this place. We praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah. Now set a guard before your mouth. Watch what you say. Maybe God never shut Zechariah's mouth. He could have been speaking death over the great John the Baptist. And maybe John wouldn't have been born. I have to believe it. Why else would he have shut his mouth? Because of his negativity. Because of his unbelief. Could have aborted the very destiny, not just their promise, but for mankind. The great John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Let us be careful. Many words have been spoken over our city, over you, maybe a teacher, maybe a family member, maybe a critic. Many people, Cecil John Rhodes said over Kimberley, the weeds will grow in the streets of Kimberley. We don't accept that. We refuse to accept that. This is the land of the Lord. God will make rivers flow even in a desert. This is a good land. This is a prosperous land. This is God's land. God is in this place. Hallelujah. We choose to speak what God says. Come on, you need to watch your mouth. You have to speak words of life and not death. In Jesus' name. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. You're standing here today. Friend invited you, a family member, but you're in church. Maybe you came by yourself. But you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not saved. You don't belong to God. Maybe you used to serve God, but something happened. Maybe you are Zechariah that I spoke about today. That in this time of your life, you've seen it all, you've done it all, and you're actually just unbelief. You just came because, listen, let me tell you, everybody has setbacks, everybody has disappointments. Welcome to life. But one thing we can see is the promise of God still came to pass for Zechariah. Even Peter, he had a good start, but he fell short. God still loves you. And he's waiting for you to come home today. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, there's somebody here today. You even wanted to commit suicide. You felt everybody's turned their back on you. I want you to know God loves you. God believes in you. He's saying, come home today. Whoever you are today, there's a stirring right now in your spirit. You know God is calling you. You don't have assurance of salvation. What does that mean? That means if you die today, you don't know where you're going to go. God doesn't want you to go through life worrying about where you're going to end up. The children of God already receive our inheritance, our promise we receive now. You don't have to only die and then get your inheritance in the kingdom. You receive your inheritance today, eternal life. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. Please pray with me. I want to know God. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need a new beginning. Well, there's faith yet today. God is yet today. Come home. He wants to purge you of your sin, but also your attitude, your disappointments, your unbelief. He wants to put in faith in your heart today. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that is you, please just indicate to me right now. Just slip up your hand. Say, Pastor, you're speaking to me. Thank you. Just slip your hand up. Be embarrassed now. It doesn't matter what the people next to you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your honesty. Dankie. Baie dankie. Hands up. Thank you. I see that hand in the middle there. Thank you. God bless you. Believers praying. Believers interceding. Thank you. God bless you. Right across this place. Right across this place. One last time, you haven't raised your hand. Come on, it's a new beginning today. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Come home. You haven't raised your hand one last time. Please, allow me the privilege to pray with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Family, won't you look at me right across this place? There were many of you that raised your hands. I want you to do one more thing for me, please. This is important. You matter to God. You're not just a number. You're an individual. I want to ask you to please bring your personal belongings. If a friend invited you, they love the encouragement, they'll come with you. Please, I want you to pray with you. I want to pray with you. If that is you, then right across this place, all you wonderful people that raised your hands, make your way to the nearest aisle. Just come and meet me at the altar. Just come. As we sing a song, just come. Just come. Thank you. Come on, you beautiful people who raised your hands. Come. And you are worthy of it. And you are worthy of it. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Yes, yes, come. There's more of you today. Come. Thank you, thank you.
You can have my heart, my soul.
Listen, there's a finished work. There is a finished work on the cross. God rested on the seventh day, but there was still a work to be done. The redemption of mankind. Let's just come as I'm talking. We are never finished until Christ comes into our hearts. The work will never stop until all, till every person has heard the gospel, then the end will come. There's an unfinished work. And the unfinished work is to show people the finished work of Christ on the cross. When he hung on the cross, he took his last breath. He said, it's finished. It's finished. We have to realize our work is not finished until Jesus comes back. Until we are out of here. He finished the work on the cross. Thank you for coming out, every one of you. What an honor it is to pray with you. This is, might be your first time. It might be your 10th time. It doesn't matter. Bible says we believe and therefore we speak. So I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Say it loud enough that you can hear your own words. Make it personal. Because our God is listening this morning. He knows you by name. Let's say this prayer. Say, Father, this morning, I repent of all my sins and I receive your forgiveness right now. I believe that you are the Son of God. You died on a cross for all my sins. You purged all my sins. You wiped them away. And I receive that work now in my life. I receive it by faith. A new beginning. A beginning in you. For dying on the cross. For going to hell. Conquering the grave. And I believe on the third day, the Father resurrected you. You are the Son of God. And I put my faith and trust in you. From this day forward, I belong to you. I choose you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.